Hi, guys, and welcome back to the Booze Witches podcast. It's your host, Jasmine. It's going to be a solo podcast episode. Quite a few of them might be solo moving forward. I'm going to try to bring in some guest hosts from, you know, time to time to talk about reality stuff and also the spiritual stuff. Kat, hopefully, will be on a couple of those, but most of them will probably just be featuring me. But a lot to catch up on. I've been down quite a bit because I've had a little procedure. So I've been recovering. And also I run my own consulting business and I have a spiritual business. So on top of all that, I am recovering. It's been a little bit hard for me to record, but I'm jumping back in it. And I'm going to try to do this for now on weekly. I know I've said that before, but this is definitely the year of me like tackling all my goals. So hopefully this time I'm saying I'm putting in the universe, it's going to happen. So I kind of want to just jump right into it. The first show that I want to talk about is Real Housewives of New Jersey. This season has been quite explosive from the beginning, which I'm happy about because a lot of the franchises, they're so like lackluster now. But Real Housewives of New Jersey, they never fail to bring the entertainment. Obviously, Teresa, she always comes in hot and she was being a complete hot mess at Jackie's birthday party for her husband, Evan. I just thought Teresa was completely out of line. And I know we have a lot of diehard Teresa fans, but her behavior was just atrocious. And obviously she was trying to get back at Jackie for other stuff. But let's be real. If anybody spoke on Teresa's man or anybody in her family, it wouldn't be tolerated. So, you know, with Teresa, the only issue I ever have is that she can be a hypocrite at times. And I'm kind of glad that Jackie is giving her a taste of her own medicine because none of the other women really will. A lot of the other women are scared of her. And a lot of women that do stand up to Teresa, they usually aren't back the next season. So I'm glad that Jackie is at least giving her a taste of her own medicine. Whether or not you're a Jackie fan or not, I'm not like a super like Jackie fan or anything like that. But I am just happy that she is standing up to Teresa because sometimes Jackie can seem a little spineless herself. I'm still a big Jennifer fan. She's one of my favorites. I know she's a little polarizing and some people aren't big fans of her. She does kiss Teresa's ass just a tad bit, which is a little bit annoying. But I still think Jennifer brings a lot to the show. I love watching her family scenes and I really like her husband and I'm glad to have like a woman on the show that represents like the Middle East. And I just think she's gorgeous. But yeah, this season seems really good so far. I haven't fully caught up yet. I'm interested to see, where did I stop it? I think the last one I stopped at was it's the last day of them being at the cabin. So Jackie obviously decided not to show up. Which I was kind of bummed about, but I get it. Jackie's a Libra, you know, they're all about appearances. Somebody throwing a wrench into her marriage, like criticizing it. I'm not shocked that she spiraled because they like to appear a certain way. So I'm not shocked that she was just like, oh my God, I can't handle this. I need to take a step back away from the cameras. And when I saw previews of her having a party and wanting everybody to announce that they know Evan's not a cheater, that's such a Libra thing to do. They're always trying to control their image. Jackie is going to get a rude awakening, being on reality TV to know that that's not going to be possible at all. I mean, it's not really possible in life in general. People are going to think what they want to think regardless. But yeah, on reality TV, especially the housewives, that's not going to be possible. So she's going to have to make a decision, especially with the type of job Evan has, because I know they have morality clauses when you, when you're the face of a company, and when a lot of rumors start going about, I know that you can lose your job for stuff like that. So, but if she's going to try to control that, she's just going to end up spiraling into, she's just going to make herself more crazy eventually down the line. So yeah, I'm excited to see how this all just kind of turns out. Going to catch up on I think I'm like 2 episodes from being caught up. So yeah, I'll catch up on that and then do another podcast on Roni soon. I also want to quickly just talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta. It's been an interesting season. It hasn't been that, like, you know, there's not that much going on where it's that, like, you know, I'm blown away like it has been other seasons, especially like in the beginning. But when the whole Bolo situation came about, and we all knew it was coming because we, you know, if you're a Housewives fan, you saw the tabloids and, you know, a bunch of other stuff that was going on in the press about, you know, them insinuating somebody hooked up with this stripper. But I just thought that once again, Kenya, because she's so unhappy and miserable right now in her situation with Mark, and especially because she's not getting any dick, I think that she, instead of dealing with whatever's really bothering Kenya, she just goes after somebody else. And I also think she doesn't want a storyline to be about her and Mark. So she's trying to create nonsense. I get it. If something is shown on camera, then we definitely should talk about it. But, you know, we don't really know what went on. Her trying to like drag this out, make it a thing. I think it's all just to deflect off of her, Mark. It's very like a Beverly Hills Housewives strategy to me. This is the type of shit they do, which is why people are so sick of the Beverly Hills franchise. They're always trying to make like nonsense dramas to deflect from what's going on in their real lives because they don't want to have a conversation about it. So that's kind of annoying. I'm glad like Portia is kind of keeping it under control right now. And I'm really happy that Candy is not giving in to her friend Kenya. And is just kind of being like, no, you know, if we do something on camera, we're talking about it. If not, no. Like, and I'm not throwing people under the bus. I'm glad to see that because Kenya just wants people to be as miserable as she is. She doesn't have a happy relationship. She doesn't want anybody else having that. Which I know Kenya just has a lot of like trauma she hasn't dealt with, but I hope that's something that she works on this decade because this whole stare in the pot thing, she's just getting too old for it. Like, I want to see her kind of evolve on the show and not fake evolve, like real evolve. And we already have a new Kenya on the show anyways. We have Toya, which Toya thinks that she's making a mark for herself by being the new Kenya. But I don't think she's made that much of a mark because they didn't give her a peach. She's on this season a lot and they haven't. So, you know, as of right now, I don't really care for her that much. She's kind of a kiss ash and causing like, you know, we don't really know much about her besides her just coming and trying to like, just be nasty. Like, I would like to know who Toya is, establish herself on the show. And then just have stuff. If she gets into it with somebody, she gets into it with somebody. But yeah, right now she's just looking like, you know, a pot stirrer, which we don't really need that right now. We need just boss bitches on the show. And we already have Kenya for that. But yeah, the Rural Housewives, I think they do kind of need to shake things up a bit. There's a couple of people that I think should probably get the boot. Cynthia is probably one of them. Her storyline is getting pretty old to me. And I did not care about the wedding at all. I did like Drew, though. I like her addition. I love her honesty. Yeah, I love that she's being so raw, showing like her husband and what's going on with her kids. and stuff like that. That's been a breath of fresh air because we definitely don't get enough of that. Okay, I'm going to end that there on Real Housewives of Atlanta. The next show I want to talk about is Summer House. Summer House has quickly like become one of my favorite shows. I didn't really care for it. I think me and Kat have mentioned this before. Like, I didn't really care for Summer House when it first started. Kat wasn't watching it at all, but I was actually watching the show because it came on after Vanderpump Rules. So naturally, it just the TV was just on the channel, so I would watch it, but it just wasn't like, you know, I probably would have rated it like a 6. It didn't always keep my attention and be like getting up and doing other things, but I am so like blown away by it now. I mean, I think a few years, maybe 2 years ago, it actually topped Vanderpump. I don't even care about Vanderpump Rules anymore. And all of a sudden, like, Summer House became my favorite. This season has already, you know, just lived up to its glory, especially with Hannah and the Kyle drama. I didn't realize how many like Leos and like on the cusp type of people we had in the house. There's a lot of Leos and Sagittarius Capricorn cusp in the house, which I thought was very interesting. And you can definitely tell with the battle between Hannah and Kyle that, you know, two Leos in the house, both wanting to, you know, be the star of their friendships and relationships and want to be right and want to dominate. It's very interesting to see this dynamic and poor Amanda try to juggle that, because she's on the cusp of like Cancer Leo, but I definitely see more Cancer in her. She's a lot more sensitive and intuitive and like nurturing. I'm sure there's some Leo there, but I definitely see, maybe it's because she's around so many Leos, it brings more of the Cancer side out of her. But yeah, this season has been really good. And then even seeing Lindsay's drama with Steven, her boyfriend, and Lindsay's a Leo. And of course, as you can see, she needs to be, I have a Leo Venus, so I get it. Like, even when I'm in love, like I need a lot of passion. I need attention. Even if you're not around me and you're busy, I need you to be showing me you're thinking about me. So if I'm dating somebody and they're traveling a lot and they're busy, that's perfectly fine. But I better like come home to flowers or find a handwritten note in my fucking pocket, you know? So I 100% get where Lindsay is coming from, because I think, you know, when you have these strong Leo placements, if that's not getting fulfilled down the line, if somebody else starts giving it to you, you might cheat. So it is probably a good idea that she stepped away from that, because me personally, I need romance and I don't even have a Leo sun. I'm a Cancer, but my Leo Venus is pretty strong. And like, that's like, if I'm not getting that in a relationship, I can be like Lindsay and I can turn into a Tasmanian devil. But also, I also give that in a relationship. And I think Lindsay does too. So it's not like when you're dating somebody with these placements, you're not going to get treated like, you know, a king or a queen, you will. So I think, you know, it just needs to be reciprocated. So I was kind of glad to see her put her foot down. But I'm like, damn, Lindsay has like, though, Lindsay doesn't really have loyal, like, this is very Leo to me. Her loyalty is to herself. She just hooks up with whoever. Like, her friend was dating Carl, then now Luke. Like, I mean, as a Cancer, like, even in, I would just never do that to a friend. If somebody touched somebody, that's a friend of mine. If they hooked up with somebody, had a crush on somebody, whatever, I'm not going after them, period. But Lindsay just does not give a fuck. It hasn't unfolded quite yet as to if Luke and Lindsay really did hook up, but my intuition, my spidey senses tell me that they definitely fucking hooked up. Which, yeah, I just don't think Lindsay is a girl's girl. I mean, even her best friend Danielle dated Carl, and then she was trying to date him. And then her other friend, one of the twins, I'm forgetting their names. But I'm sure that's probably happened. Lindsay's probably done this quite a few times, which is odd because, yeah, once I text somebody, they're mine. Like, I mark my territory. Like, you know, but none of my friends go after my dudes. Like, that's like a girl code. But I'm also a girl's girl. So should be interesting to see how that plays out. And I love that Hannah got a message from a psychic, because obviously this podcast is called The Booze Witches. We are witches ourselves. And I hope some of the following is. And I do tarot card readings and I'm all into that. So the fact that, you know, a psychic sent Hannah that, and Hannah and Paige, like, just automatically believed it, was just hilarious to me. But yeah, I'm interested to see what's going to happen. I do like the new edition of Sierra. I mean, she's not as entertaining, but I do like that she's kind of giving Luke the cold shoulder, because he is not used to that. He's a good looking guy. He's charming. Everybody keeps saying he's a narcissist. Not 100% sure about that yet. I think that he definitely has some trauma, and he uses, you know, people to fill a void, which I think with some help, Luke might grow out of doing that once he matures a little and gets and works on his inner trauma. So I don't know. We'll see about that. I definitely am not like a huge fan of Luke though, but I do like that Sierra is definitely giving him the cold shoulder, because, you know, he's just a cocky motherfucker. The way he was coming at Hannah, I was like, let's not act like you weren't leading her on. I'm interested to see Dez come on. I looked up his sign and he's a Scorpio. And I think that makes sense when I saw a scene between Hannah and him, and they were kind of having like phone sex or something like that, and the stuff he was saying. And then I saw he was a Scorpio. I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And I think that's a good match for a Leo. He seems a little bit older than her, but, you know, I like older men too. So that's right up my alley. So I'm excited to see how this is going to play out. And I'm glad that she met somebody else, and she's not giving a fuck about Luke's feelings, because he doesn't give a fuck about her feelings. So she kind of just needs to do what's best for her. I know she's getting like a hard time this season. Hannah has always been one of my favorites, and everybody's like, I thought you were strong. You know, strong people can have weak moments, and like, you know, love or feelings for another human being they can be the most powerful thing on the planet. So I think everybody needs to cut her a tad bit of slack, because when you have feelings for somebody, we all quickly forget how, you know, polarizing it can be, how mind blowing it can be, how intoxicating it can be. Even if it's not love, lust can be extremely powerful. So I think we all need to kind of give her a tad bit of a break. Because if you watch the other seasons, you know Luke was kind of leading her on a tad bit, making it seem like there was hope for them to date. So, and then when she talks about her past a tad bit, you can see why she's kind of, she would be attracted to a man like that. But I'm excited to see how this plays out. I felt so bad for Carl to the season when I saw that his brother had passed, and him dealing with substance abuse, his brother. Very sad, because they hadn't talked in a couple of years. And I think that's like, I was so glad that it was like, this was filmed, because a lot of people, I was literally just talking to one of my best friends about this, and she has a sibling that struggles as well. And like, I'm like, you never, you know, that disease is, it's a very difficult disease. And a lot of people don't live a full life with it. So, you know, set your boundaries for yourself, but like, if you can find a way to communicate and still have somewhat of a relationship with, you know, a person that is close to you that is struggling with that, try to do that, because, you know, you don't want to wake up one morning and get that call and then have regrets. But outside of that, I really love Carl this season. He's just giving me like higher vibrational Aquarius vibes. And yeah, he's been lower vibrational since he's been on the show. So I cannot wait to see how he's going to kind of evolve. He's still fun too. It seems like he's not fully going to stop drinking. I'm not sure if he's fully sober or he just realized he was abusing alcohol, which a lot of us in especially American society do. So he's just kind of taking a scale back and then, you know, here and there we'll have something, regardless of his decision. Like you can just tell he's all about self-care, taking care of his traumas, what was leading him to cope with alcohol. And I'm just excited to see how he's gonna pan out. When I was stalking the cast before the season started, it looked like Paige and Carl end up dating again. But I'm not 100% sure on that because then I did see a little, I saw next week's and I heard everybody telling Carl to, maybe he should make a play for Sierra, which I see Luke gets really pissed about. But so I'm interested to see how this plays out because I know Paige is definitely not into her older boyfriend. She still has a thing for Carl because Paige is a Scorpio, and when they're into a guy, like I have a lot of Scorpio girls, like they're just like madly infatuated. It doesn't happen all the time, but when they're there, they're there. And Paige is definitely not into her current boyfriend. So I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see who Carl ends up pursuing something with. I do not think it'll ever be Lindsay. I don't think they're compatible. I honestly, for Lindsay, I think she needs to go through some trauma therapy because she puts a lot of her abandonment issues and a lot of other things onto her partners. Outside of her, she's always going to be a Leo that likes passion and attention. But outside of that, like somebody who like analyzes people, and I'm very intuitive, like she needs to deal with her inner hurt and her inner child before she can have a successful relationship. And she's a successful woman. She's worried about babies. I want her to freeze her eggs and take care of herself because babies for her will come. 34 doesn't mean your eggs are gone. Yes, some people go through menopause early. Get it checked out. Ask your doctor, see where you're at. And then if you need to, freeze your eggs and take care of yourself because she's going to continue to have these outcomes if she doesn't heal herself. Because I saw that a lot between her and Carl. Carl was still in his lower vibrational energy when they were dating, and he was putting his shit on her and she was putting her shit on him. And I was like, wow, like this is a disaster. So now Carl is fully working on himself, but I hope I still don't see a match between him and Lindsay. I just see them as friends. But yeah, I hope for Lindsay that she starts to just really heal herself, which is going to be, it's not an easy thing to do, obviously, because she's going to have to heal herself without closure and without probably the involvement from the person who probably gave her most of the trauma. So it's not an easy thing to do, but it's something that she needs to do to find like some peace within herself. And so she can break the vicious cycle she's on when she's in relationship. She's still going to be her Leo self, wanting the passion, wanting the romance. There is nothing wrong with that. So don't let them tell you there is. But yeah, the other parts of her that I see her inner child constantly like kind of screaming out, is definitely it's sad. And like I hope that she starts to work on that. No better time than quarantine. So to start working on yourself. I also want to bring up on another note is Tinsley and Scott, the breakup. I just saw this. I think it was yesterday or the day before. I am in no way shocked by this breakup. I did not think that Scott was into Tinsley at all. I think that maybe he liked hooking up with her. I think that she's like, you know, eager to please him. And I think that he likes that. It's a relationship for his ego. And it's also a relationship for his business because she has a lot of followers and a platform. I think she did a commercial with him and had Carol in it. But in no way, like, did I feel like he really actually like loved her. I think Tinsley is so focused on this word fairy tale, almost like she's 12 years old. And there is, I don't want to say there's no such thing as a fairy tale, but what we're taught as children, that stuff is a fantasy. Is there real deep love and passion? Yes, yes. But the fairy tale Tinsley is chasing is like from what she watched as a kid when she was watching like Cinderella. So I think her, especially like maybe how she grew up and type of mother she has and dad and like family she's in, she still is very much childlike. And I feel like she dates men that are like her mother. They criticize her a lot. Like she's not good enough. She's not this enough. She's always still in that child role, even with the men she's with. I just sense that this breakup is beyond brutal for her. Traumatizing. I feel like she's depressed. But with great pain and, you know, when you are down in the dumps like this, because you can come up like a phoenix. You can rise from the ashes and become stronger, know what you want. I hope she stops dating like for status and all this other stuff. And just kind of, she's already a successful woman. Try to get back on the show, get your income there too. Like you already come from money. Like just focus on like love, be a little bit more open. But she's not going to do that until she really kind of figures out who she is. She already has her eggs freeze. I know she's like 44 and she really wants a baby right now, but luckily those eggs are frozen. Try to give yourself a year, year and a half if you can. And I just hope she just like works on herself, takes a step away from like mom and like, you know, and just focuses on her and maybe tries to maybe not come back to New York right yet. Go somewhere else. Go, you know, go to somewhere where it's real. You know what I mean? Where you really can discover who you are, where you don't have to put on a show. It's not the socialites around. You can really just be, find out who your raw, authentic self is. I think that's going to be the best for her. And because she's never been my favorite on The Housewives, because I feel like she's always pretending and she never is. I got why Dorinda was annoyed with her. Dorinda's an Aries moon like I am. And when we're kind of not, when we're not in our highest self, we can be a little, like when we see fakeness, like we can be abrasive about it instead of looking at it with compassion and empathy. There's a reason why, Tinsley is acting like that. She doesn't even know who she is yet. She's 44. Which is fine. Everybody's on their own journey. You know, hopefully by the time, you know, you can be 60 and just figure out who you are. Everybody's on their own journey. So you don't want to like compare yourself to other people. But I think I get why Dorinda used to get annoyed with her. Her Aries moon, and especially Dorinda being kind of unevolved. She comes off abrasive, but she was just kind of sick of the facade. And she wanted her to be honest. But Tinsley's never been in a place where she could be honest. She's always had to put on a show. I think she's been like that it felt like that her whole life, even in the relationship she's been in. So I just hope that I would love to see her come back now, but hopefully not this immediate season. I think she should stay away for like a season or two and then come back. Because it's more important for her to focus on herself. We do not need another situation. I don't want to see somebody like, what was her name? Bronwyn from OC. Like where she was supposed to be in rehab and working on herself, but she's on the show because she just needs the spot. We don't need that. Like go fix yourself and come back the boss bitch you are. And then, you know, Or I think we should do a dating show for her once she gets it together. That would be a fun thing. Maybe involve a couple of the housewives that are currently single. But yeah, I'm not surprised. I think Scott's a fucking douchebag. I always thought he was. So I saw him talking to the press too. He's just a fucking dick. So hopefully that's officially done. And they're not getting back together. I mean, that's what was said in the press. So, you know, I know it's hard for her now, but sending you good vibes, Tinsley. You know, you haven't always been my favorite, but I think you will be down the line. So excited to see what she's going to become in the years to come. So something else I wanted to mention that isn't really, you know, Housewives or Bravo related was the Meghan and Harry. I still haven't fully watched. I've only watched clips because I was on an important business trip when it was coming out. So I had to watch like individual like clips here and there. But I just wanted to say this out loud on here that I am 100% team Meghan and Harry, especially after watching The Crown, because we know that they will put the crown before everything. And I think it's ridiculous that we still have monarchies. Science has proven quite some time ago that there is no such thing as blue blood. There's no such thing. So to keep families in charge and calling them royal, you know, and especially families that are anybody who is usually royal, there's a lot of incest going on there. I'm just like, who knows if they're even mentally, you know, have the mental ability to really be like making decisions for the world. But I think it's time to go. It's time to get rid of the monarchy. And I think it's time for, I think, you know, Meghan challenged that. Also, I've been seeing a lot of clips about Princess Diana, and people are like, you know, oh, we love, you know, the people love Diana. That's the big difference between Meghan and Princess Diana. The people really loved Princess Diana, but the monarchy hated her. And with Meghan, the monarchy hates her and the people hate her. But they both stood for the same thing. Whether you want to agree with that or not, I see videos of Diana criticizing the monarchy, doing this and that, and everybody's in there like, I love you, her, I love her. Meghan says one thing about, you know, how they treat her, and they're like, fuck you. And it's like, but in the next breath, when you see an old video of Diana, you know, everybody's rallying behind her. It's definitely a racial thing. It's definitely not only is it a racial thing, it's also an American thing. And it's also a caste system thing. That's one thing that I can't stand about the UK. So there are three elements to why they really hate her, because their caste systems are very real out in the UK. And obviously we don't have those in America. So they think that she is rubbish and on the low level, you know, and also because she is half black, there's another one, because of racism. They do not like her because of that as well. I just think that I'm really happy that Meghan and Harry decided to leave the UK. I think that once she builds up some strength, as well as Harry, I think that they're going to do great philanthropy work in the next years to come. Maybe not right away, but in the years to come, I think they're going to start doing some great things. And mark my words, I do. I think they're, because I've gotten into debates with people. They're like, she could have did so much more if she would have stayed. No, she could not. There are a lot of men that run the monarchy, and you have to come in and be obedient and be quiet. You cannot challenge anything. You're not supposed to ask questions. You're not any of those things. So no, there wasn't much she could do from within the monarchy, especially with them not protecting her. I'm still appalled at how much the press writes about her and how all the negative all the negative articles, because I am always stalking Daily Mail, which is a UK publication. And I stalk it every, that's like one of the first things I look at in the morning. And there's always nasty stuff about Meghan, but we don't see one thing about Andrew. And if you watch The Crown, look at all the shit and scandals that have happened in that family. You know, Prince Charles, his scandals, and, you know, the Queen's uncle scandal. None of that stuff made it to press because the monarchy protects people, and they do not, they did not want to protect Princess Diana, and they do not want to protect Meghan. So they're allowing all this nonsense and rubbish to be printed about them. The lucky thing was Diana was actually from the UK. She was somewhat like her high enough in the caste system for people to like her as well. And she was just a beautiful woman. And not that Meghan's not beautiful, but Meghan is also half black. And so I just think, you know, at least the public, regardless of everything printed about her, the public loved her. And it's really sad and unfortunate that, you know, Meghan gets hate on both fronts. But I think that she's strong. I think that Harry has strength too. He has a lot of emotional strength. So I'm excited to see what's to come for them, especially this decade, because I think a lot of people, a lot of activists, a lot of new activists are going to be, you're going to start seeing a lot of new faces, people popping up, really moving stuff forward for the collective. So really excited to, I think they're going to be one of the movers and shakers. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. But I think I'm going to end it there. I know I still haven't done a podcast on Utah yet. I have to catch up on that one. I also think I'm going to do a couple other episodes that we haven't really done before. Maybe I might do some 90 Day Fiance because I am obsessed with that show. I watch all the spinoffs, Happily Ever After. And I also watch I watch Love After Lockup, which is hilarious. I don't know how much of the current following watch up, but I might do an episode on that as well. But I'm also going to be posting, going a little bit more of the spiritual route, and recording a podcast because we're going to be having a new moon that's coming up soon. So I'm going to be recording a podcast on that, probably sometime this week, and I'll release it a few days before, just giving people some tips and some advice on the things I do when a full moon is coming, and you know, even down to what I eat and how I set the mood in my house, and just some advice and stuff. We did a couple of those type of podcasts a few episodes back, so there'll probably be two released this week. But thank you all for listening. I hope this was entertaining. This was my first one doing by myself. I'm a big talker. I actually love to talk, even by myself, apparently. But there will be, like I said, a few guest hosts coming on. It's just been a little tricky with COVID and everything, but I do plan on having a few guest hosts pop in from here to there. But I do want to thank everybody who's listening and who's been following for your support. I know things haven't always been, you know, we haven't always like kept up with what we say we're going to do. We're like, you'll get like 5 podcasts and then it will be silent for 2 months. But I'm definitely going to be stepping up and putting a lot more content out there. So I hope you enjoyed this one, and I will definitely be recording weekly from here on out. So thank you for joining us. It's your girl, Jasmine. I'm out.